Hello and welcome into In The Pocket, Across The Pond. I'm Lewis, joined as always by Alex and Alex. And this week, we're talking NFL trade deadline. You won't believe the moves that went down. We're also talking some of the best players of the week, some great catches in Week 9, Garrett Wilson, Devonta Smith. We're also talking about that Saquon Barkley play. Yeah, you know the one. The other one. Yeah, that one. And we'll be bringing you our projection beaters, our forget about it, sharp as his game tiers, all the usual stuff that I'm sure you love. Enjoy. Lads, I'm back. Biggest comeback of the week.
Boom.
I'd say. Of, week commencing November 4th. The biggest comeback of that week in the world. Me on this podcast. Let's jump right in to this week. Because I really enjoyed this week. Just because I think there's some teams that I think are showing us that they're contending. And I want to start with one of them teams. I want to start with the Rams, who beat the Seahawks in overtime, 26-20. I think the Rams can probably make a little bit of a run here. 4-4, coming back to health. Like, this team has had its hard run in terms of the team's health and they're even Stevens. So what are we saying about the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, 3-game winning streak, is it? It's one of them where you've got a team where there's still some pieces on there from the Super Bowl win a few years ago. So whenever you've got a team like that who's been there and done it, when they get into the postseason, it's kind of like they seem more dangerous. We know they're a really well-coached team. It's funny how the kind of discourse out of the Rams has completely changed from 3 weeks ago, where it looked like they were kind of sell. But as you're saying now, 4-4, division's really close, but I mean, they've got a game on the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are pretty good as well, but if I was to bank on one of those teams, it would be the Rams, and with the 49ers injuries, I'd probably bank on the Rams winning that division now. Yeah, the only thing I wouldn't bank on them doing, Lou, is getting past the Lions in the playoffs, but yeah.
Yeah, that's it. But they do look good. On the other side of that, though, the Seahawks, Sherples, I mean, I think they're a couple of losses away from folding here, because if you look, they're in the middle of a divisional gauntlet. They've just lost to the Rams, and the Seahawks' next two games are the 49ers and the Cardinals when they come back off the bye week. They've got to win them. They have to win them, or it's that's over, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it would be over, and I think if I could probably see them taking one of them, probably the Cardinals. I think they beat the Cardinals, but it's harsh because they're obviously in a tough division in the tough conference as well. Really, probably deserve to be a low end playoff team, but. It's the way it falls, unfortunately. Obviously, DK Metcalf's been a loss. I think he'll be back in the next week or so, which will help. But I just don't think they've got quite enough. They've got some nice pieces for fantasy. But I think when you look at the team as a whole, I think they're probably about where they should be, particularly in the NFC.
Yeah, I think they're a bit skewed maybe for us, because they've got... Like, they're a good fantasy football team, aren't they? Like, yeah. they do what you want them to do. When you have fantasy players, they throw the ball to the running backs, they score quite a lot. But obviously that doesn't equal good NFL team, necessarily. And then staying in division, you alluded to them, Al. The Cardinals beat the Bears. Bears 9-29 Cardinals. That's the most points that the Bears have conceded all season. Cardinals, they're on a bit of a heater. They started 1-3, and now they've gone 4-1. In that stretch, they've beaten the Bears, the Chargers, the 49ers. All legit teams. They're leading the division now. Could they do something, the Cardinals?
I mean, The win this week, I will say, is I think the Spurs are like they're going the opposite direction pretty rapidly, to be honest with you. I think it was very much a comment on kind of how the Spurs are playing as much as how the Cardinals are playing at the minute. I mean, you probably want to see them build something. It's interesting, isn't it? It's like you've got those teams who you're thinking to yourself, you know, build something. Say the Commanders are another one. Build something you're kind of already overachieving maybe this year in how you're playing or what your record is at the minute. So build something this year, kind of keep your draft picks and everything there and see what you can do next year. But obviously we saw the Commanders go out and make some moves. Not so much the Cardinals. But I mean, you know, I don't think they can go all the way, but can they maybe kind of build something here? Definitely the connection between Murray and Harrison Jr. for fantasy absolutely needs to improve. I do think they've just played some poor teams recently.
Chargers are legit though, and like, I know the 49ers have had trouble, but they're still the 49ers.
They were banged up though, and the Bears were bad this week, and still the Chargers are another one of them where it's like first year in a new system. Yeah, it's looked like it's clicking recently, but they've played like three different types of football so far this season, so they're still trying to find their identity as well.
Yeah, and I think it's easy in that division to be like, actually, the 49ers are coming back off bye this week with probably Christian McCaffrey back, so they're just going to storm it. Sharples, really quickly, this division, just give us bottom to top at the end of the season. What's it going to be? The NFC West.
Oh, that's interesting. I think from bottom to top, it will be the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Rams, and then the 49ers because McCaffrey's coming back.
That's it. That's sort of the fallback, isn't it? It's like it's probably still going to be the 49ers. But I think the Rams are interesting. Jumping over to the AFC, the Dolphins just barely lost 27-30 to the Bills. Bills are very sort of pragmatic this year. They've been winning in loads of different ways, which is sort of a bit annoying for fantasy football, because one week James Cook will get 30 points and the next week he'll get 9 or something like that, and you don't know what receiver to start or anything like that. But that's what good teams do. They find different ways to win. I think the Bills look decent, as they always do every year. They do look a little bit different this year though. I don't know, is that just me, Sharples, about like the Bills?
No, I think they are different. I mean, Stephon Diggs was a huge piece, and I know he was sort of being phased out by the end of it, but I do think Josh Allen is missing that number one guy, which is why they brought in Amari Cooper. Not that he's exactly set the world alight yet, but you're right, they are winning games. But I think it's like we say that like the Chiefs like the winning games, but even though they're not playing brilliant, this is different for me for the Bills. This feels like they're scraping through them, but I certainly I've been a lot higher on them in the past few years than I am now. I don't think they've got as much of an X factor as they used to have. I think the defense is starting to age out a little bit.
I
think for me their time was probably two years ago.
And the other side of this game, the Dolphins. Curious one. I was saying this to you on Sunday. Al, I texted you when Red Zone was on, and I was just saying like they just some Tua just doesn't look right. You know, they've been able to move the ball, but not in the way that you'd really think. I mean, if you look at the stat lines, I'll just pull them up. The stat lines of the last two games for the Dolphins. Sort of bizarrely. So this week, they scored 27 points. The week before, in the loss to the Cardinals, they scored 27 points. Both games were by 3 or less points. They had 227 passing yards against the Cardinals. They had 224 passing yards against the Bills. They had 250 rushing yards against the Cardinals. They had 249 rushing yards against the Bills. And I felt like I saw the same team in both games, in that they've got no deep ball. It's all checkdowns. Like 37% of completions that Tua has made in the past two games have gone to wide receivers. That's just 37%. A lot of checkdowns. Over the past 2 years, he's like led the league in air yards per attempt the past couple of years. This now, since coming back, he's outside the top 15 in that category among all quarterbacks. Yeah, I don't know. When you take away the deep ball from that team, the game-breaking aspect just isn't there. So, Al, what are you saying about this Miami team? Is this just warming back up or what with Tua?
I mean, you hope so. I bought low on Tyreek Hill in a league this week just because, you know, record is pretty good. I thought I could gamble. I've not got, like, kind of game-breaking wide receiver. So I think if you want to take a gamble, you can probably gamble at maybe trying to get, like, a Hill. I don't know if I'd gamble at on Waddle just because of what we've seen and kind of the sample size this year. Even with Tua at this point, he's getting big enough to be like, oh, well, maybe this team isn't very good.
Mm. Yeah, Waddle, who scored a touchdown but had minus yards, was that, mm-hmm. on the day. Amazing stat line, an amazing stat line. Staying in the AFC, Bengals and Ravens both put up 41 points in victories against the Raiders and Broncos, respectively. Broncos aren't a bad team and have a decent defense, and the Ravens just completely wiped the floor with them. I like these two teams, and lucky for everybody who's a fan of the NFL, that's the matchup this week on Thursday night. That's the the game of the year so far for me. These two teams are heating up. I do think the Browns have a bit of a banana skin, though. You know, we saw the Ravens have a banana skin as they lost to the Browns a couple of weeks ago and the Raiders earlier on this season. Who looks more dominant at the minute, Sharples? Because obviously the Ravens look great, but the Bengals are on a hell of a run. They're on a heater.
Yeah, for me, it's the Ravens. I think they're a better all-round team when you look at offensively and defensively. But the Bengals just have these games like Joe Burrow threw 5 touchdowns.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Games where, or a game where Jamar Chase has 250 yards. So I think on a given day, you don't want to play the Bengals, but I think long-term, Ravens stronger. I think the Ravens will probably go further when it's all said and done. I think the Bengals to me are a little bit more boom bust, but two fantastic displays obviously out of them both this week.
Yeah, and I'll just like similar to you, I'm quite shocked at this because I would probably go with the Bengals in this one just because of how it's been going. But the Bengals, if you look at the line at the minute, it's Bengals plus 6. I think it's a lot closer than that personally. Al, what do you reckon?
I mean, the Bengals did kind of just get handled last week by the Eagles, so they have been pretty inconsistent, even though obviously they've beaten a fairly average to bad team this week in the Raiders. So I would say that the Ravens have looked more impressive, even though obviously there's some kind of there's some worrying spots there with some of those losses, but the Ravens have looked on the whole better than the Bengals to me. I think that's a lot, but I also thought last week the fact that the Jets were favoured was ridiculous and they ended up winning. So, I mean, yeah, I could see the Ravens beating them by more than a touchdown, personally.
Okay, well, I'm taking that 6 points all the way to the bank, lads. Elsewhere, Lions beat the Packers 24-14 in a soaking wet matchup. My sweet, sweet Packers. I've been listening, lads. I have been listening. I don't just edit it on mute. Listen, I just, like I texted you, I like the players and the coach. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. And I do like cheese as well. I'm not saying I'm a cheese head, but I do, you know. And I liked in that game, Jared Goff after the game said, the men will be the dome team who can't play outside. And obviously they beat the Packers in this matchup. But that does help when the defense is so good and they're taking so much pressure off the offense, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cowboys 21, 27 Falcons. It's over. Reset. We will not be talking about the Cowboys on this podcast for the rest of the season. Full stop. Is that okay, Sharples?
No, I will be bringing them up at every opportunity.
It's done, though. It's over. There's not. We only talk about the interesting and important games on this, and the Cowboys won't be in any of those games the rest of the year.
Do we not need to, you know, dissect the team that's all in, though, and just crumble into the dust? Like, do we not need to have a real deep dive on this?
Al, what do you reckon?
Well, I mean, you know, Watt says all in more than trading for Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah. This is awful. Cowboys are bad. Wow. The Chiefs. Chiefs are 8-0. That's all that needs to be said. Chiefs are 8-0. Let's get on to our categories. Impressive victory. Shapples.
Went for the Ravens. It was probably going to be between the Bengals and the Ravens, but I thought that the Ravens played a better team in the Broncos. Obviously, Broncos' defense has been good for the majority of the year, but past few weeks, the offense has really come good as well. And so for the Ravens to put up that many points and limit the Broncos to that few points, because they got to the red zone quite a few times, but the Ravens just seemed to keep holding them out. So just thought it was a really complete display.
Yeah, Al?
I thought the Chargers looked pretty dominant against the Browns. I never really had much faith in the Browns making this big turnaround or anything, but I thought it was a dominant performance, kind of silencing that crowd, literally. So, yeah, I'm going to go the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, just quickly on that, like the whole Jameis Winston thing, I sort of don't get it, because people seem like they're misremembering. They've got like rose-tinted glasses for what Jameis Winston was in Tampa like 5 years ago. Jameis Winston hasn't been that gunslinger, you know, 500 passing yards a game quarterback in a long time. He certainly wasn't that at the Saints. So yeah, I'm not really buying that either. My impressive victory was the Cardinals, because like I said before, they put the most points up against this Bears defense all season, and I think they're beating pretty decent teams. Not buying it, win, Chapels.
I went Titans. They beat the Patriots, because everyone seems to beat the Patriots this year, but really don't like them, don't like watching them. They've had Mason Rudolph for the past few games, and now Will Levis comes back to inevitably throw five interceptions while like he's on the ground. Just a bit of a pointless team.
Agreed. He is fun though to watch. He is fun.
He is fun.
Yeah. Al?
Yeah, I went with the Panthers. They're still, you know, really bad. They just happen to come up against a team that's in some turmoil themselves at the minute in the Saints.
I also went the Panthers because, yeah, this is me reading a stat. They're the first team in the Super Bowl era to win a game with under 250 total yards, zero takeaways, and having allowed over 425 total yards to the opposing team. and then, worst team in the league, say it together, 3, 2, 1, the Saints.
Cowboys. Just me?
I'll give you that one because they are awful. Best players of the week. Let's start by talking about some of the best plays of the week, and that'll lead us on, because my oh my, it was like watching a fishing tournament out there, because there was a hell of a lot of catch of the week, let's call it this section. Garrett Wilson against the Texans, that was mental. Really good. And then
I don't know how it was DeMarcus a catch, Robin. By the way, but whatever.
You are?
I don't know how it was a catch, but
I
whatever.
Agree. I also felt like his shin was out, but DeMarcus Robinson, game winner. Sharples is smirking, by the way, about the Garrett Wilson.
He's got a very narrow shins.
DeMarcus Robinson against the Seahawks was like, okay, seen that, I'll raise you a one-handed walk-off overtime touchdown. And then Devonta Smith goes and pulls out what I thought was the best catch of the weekend. I don't know if you saw it. The Devonta Smith one was crazy. Was and that was a catch. That was a catch, unlike cheating Garrett Jets Wilson. But what this segment is really leading me towards is the best player on the week, Saquon Barkley. 199 total yards, 2 total touchdowns, and oh, that play. Oh,
Goodness, that was that was outrageous.
Yeah, yeah. But why the audacity to even try that? what is he doing?
The guy, I don't know who the defensive player was, but sit down, sit down. Yeah,
it's just annoying because like you just want him to run it for a like in the end it was like what a 10-yard play.
Yeah,
it was just absolutely miraculous.
Yeah, and he leaped over a guy like. Later on in the game as well, not as you know, the next elite was a bit like whatever,
whatever, yeah.
But that was crazy.
McBride also had a nice leap. I don't know if you saw the McBride.
Yeah.
He got very high.
He has some players as well. McBride is really like might not be like game breaking fantasy. He's been nice, but some of the players that guy makes are just tough. Just tough.
He also vultured a 2-yard rushing touchdown from my James Conner, which was. Oh my god, that was infuriating.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't know if you saw it. I think it was the opening drive.
No, I did. Yeah,
he just
yeah.
kept giving the ball to James Conner. Like I think he had sort of 40 rushing yards on the play. Just every time he was going for like 5 to 8 yards, got right to the red zone. I thought, let's go, and then yeah, just hands it off to McBride to just walk in.
Yeah, unreal. JSN. 7 receptions, 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't think that's prescriptive of every week. But listen, I mean, you can say all you want about they were down, they had to throw it, it was desperation and then it was overtime. Listen, you aren't a bum if you put up those numbers. Odell Beckham Jr. isn't putting up those numbers, should I say. he looked mint. He looked really, really good in this one. Devon Achane. He was 8 receptions for 58 yards and 1 touchdown. That's just through the air. I've not even got his rushing stats. There's no point. I mean, yeah, mental. Garrett Wilson still putting up. I mean, if you look at Garrett Wilson is like the wide receiver 2, maybe 1 on the season right now. He was 9 for 90 and 2. Since he had that ridiculous 30 targets or whatever in London, he's been really, really good. And I don't know if Devontae Adams is... I feel like maybe Devontae Adams is just helping that because he's drawing some of the main coverage or something like that. But Garrett Wilson's been really good for your team in the past month over. Jalen Hurts, 3 total touchdowns, 67 rushing yards in this one as well. Starting to see... I think we're starting to see that Jalen Hurts fantasy football league winner that we saw. Was it last year or the year before? Last year was maybe a bit underwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zay Flowers, 5 receptions, 127 yards and 2 touchdowns. He looks bloody good as well. Joe Burrow, like you said before, Chappell's 5 touchdown passes. That's the second time he's done that this season, which is exactly what you want from a pocket passing quarterback. This is mental. How many, both of you, how many total yards do you think Alvin Kamara had against the Panthers in the game that the Saints lost?
Total under 100, 110?
Sharples?
I've got no idea. I don't know if he played well or if he played good. I'm just going to... I feel like you wouldn't be asking it unless it was... strangely low.
Bear in mind, he's in the best players segment.
Okay, so he did well. 180.
215 total yards.
Wow.
That sort of went under my radar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just don't pay attention to the Saints anymore. So.
He was the 8th best player on the week overall, every position, and he didn't score a touchdown.
Wow.
Yeah. Still doing it. DeAndre Hopkins, 8 for 86 and 2. Looking pretty nice there. I'm still worry. Demarcus Robinson, as we said, 6 for 94 and 2. Mike Gesicki, 5 for 102. He busted like a 60-yard touchdown. Don't know what on earth he was playing at there. Derrick Henry, 106 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. This guy's first ballot. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. He will be.
First ballot, because he's in the, in terms of stats-wise, he's in the range of, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson and all those guys right now. So, yeah, has to be. I think when he does leave the game, I think we will then probably be like, oh, yeah, this guy was the best running back in the league for a long time. J.K. Dobbins, another nice game. Daniel Jones had a nice game. Lamar Jackson, 280 for 3. He's the MVP for me. Clearly the MVP, Lamar Jackson. He's 17th in the entire league in rushing yards. In the entire league. Rushing, you know, running backs, quarterbacks, all that. And he's also tied second for passing touchdowns with 20. And tied second in passing yards with 2,379, and only has 2 interceptions. That's mental. All of those stats are crazy for one guy to be at. Yeah, amazing from Lamar Jackson. Patrick Mahomes, he's in the best players segment. I can't remember when he's ever been in this segment in the past, but 291 for 3, best regular season game in a long time. His first game without a pick this season. Fair enough to old Patty Mahomes, the old underdog of this podcast, Patrick Mahomes. And then Travis Kelce, I just want to shout him out as well, 14 for 100. We've seen some prime numbers from Kelce. I know you have him on your team, Al, in the main league.
Yeah, we've seen some prime numbers. Picked him last week because I said that I think he's going to... I think this is Kelce back now, and I feel like we can say that for sure now.
Yeah, I think that over the past 2 weeks, 28 targets, 24 catches, 190 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, he's back. Since Rice got injured, he's the tight end 2 in points a game, and he's only the tight end 2 because George Kittle is playing out of his mind at the minute. Mm-hmm. And Kaydon, another good game. But the worst players on the week, Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr., this was just sort of prescriptive. The Cardinals ran all over the Bears with James Conner and Trey Benson and all those guys. So Murray and Harrison didn't really have much to do in this one. Jonathan Taylor, again. I mean, I say again. Taylor's been good. Taylor's been solid. I'm putting Puka Nacua in this segment. In the worst players segment, I'm putting him in because he was ejected in the first half. An injury is out of the player's control. Getting ejected is in your control, so he's in the worst players segment. Yeah, 1 catch for 11 yards, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't doing much anyway. Cooper Kupp was catching everything, and then I think it was harsh. I think it was more of a shove. The ref deemed it a punch. agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah. But, I mean, he didn't help your fantasy team at all. DJ Moore, 3 poor performances in a row for DJ Moore. I mean, in the past 3 games, DJ Moore has 10 receptions for 80 yards. What's going on there, really? Like you said, Al, maybe they were pulling the wool over our eyes a little bit earlier in the season, the Chicago Bears. Brian Thomas Jr., poor game. Maybe he was hampered by that chest injury. Oh, Al. Nicholas Chubb, 15 attempts, 39 rushing yards. Is this the end of Nick Chubb?
Probably. I mean, he's had some pretty horrible matchups to kind of come back into, and he's getting the usage, but it's just awful. It's awful. It's not good. I don't know if I'd drop him just yet. Maybe bench him for another week, but if you don't see any improvements, then yeah, chuck him to the waiver wire.
Yeah. Joe Flacco, Michael Pittman. Maybe Joe Flacco isn't Jesus Christ, the Colts' Lord and Saviour, because that was a poor game. Poor game from the Colts. Kyle Pitts had a poor game, and Travis Etienne as well. Oh, I know. Like this is fun. You texted me and Sharples out on Sunday asking, you had a start-sit decision, and it was Chubb and Etienne. They're both in this segment because they both did poorly, but I said Etienne Sharples, and he did score 1.5 points more than him or something.
Yeah, that's the state of my running backs in our main league at the minute.
Let's jump over to some news and injuries though before we hold ourselves accountable, because there is some news this week. It was the trade deadline, and well, this segment is going to be about as climactic as the trade deadline itself was. But the injuries first. AJ Brown left the Eagles game with at halftime of a knee injury. He's had tests. It's clean, so he's considered day to day. Hopefully he'll be able to play this week. CeeDee Lamb exited briefly with a shoulder injury, considered week to week, though hopefully he can play through it. Dak Prescott isn't going to be playing through his hamstring injury, though. He's going to be out multiple weeks, so the backup, Cooper Rush, is going to be in for the Cowboys, which is just what they need, I think. Just what they need. Bit of a change. Cooper Rush is like 5-1 as a starter, you know? I'm sure that's all on him as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all on him. Drake London forced out in the first quarter with a hip injury sustained on a pretty decent touchdown catch. He's considered day to day as well. Chris Olave, this one was grim. Big hit, two players came in on Olave as he caught the ball either side. He was taken to hospital. It's a brutal looking concussion. I mean, we talk about Tua's concussions. This is also the fifth recorded concussion for Chris Olave, the fourth while he's been an NFL player. I don't know, I've heard mumbles of him being put on IR or something like that. We'll see, but I don't think you're going to see Chris Olave for a little bit, really. T. Higgins missed a game with a quad injury. He still isn't practicing. Obviously, though, the Thursday night game, so keep an eye out for that. Brian Robinson Jr. also missed with a hamstring injury. Keon Coleman exited with a wrist injury. Amari Cooper missed with a wrist injury. What's the deal with wrists in Buffalo? Get one of those things. What's that called? I'm gesturing with my hand. You know, the things that you squeeze?
A stress ball?
No, it's like a... I don't know. You can get a stress ball as well, I guess. But yeah, shore up your wrists, please. Buffalo. That's the end of that. And also, I've just typed here Mahomes spaghetti ankles. Because he does, because he injures his ankle again. I feel like he injures his ankle every year. But he was fine. He came back in the game. He's not going to miss any time.
To be fair, Lou, when you say spaghetti ankles, are we talking about cooked spaghetti or dry spaghetti? Because like cooked spaghetti will bend, but it won't break. Whereas dry spaghetti won't bend, but it will break. So what are Patrick Mahomes' pasta ankles cooked, or are they dry?
No. I'm saying they are
al dente.
They are cooked because, as you look, they do bend quite often, right. But they don't break because he rarely misses time with it. I mean, they won the Super Bowl, was it last year or the year before, when he had a really injured ankle. So, cooked spaghetti ankle Mahomes, new nickname. Christian McCaffrey could return this week. He's practicing. Nico Collins could return this week. I just think that's two massive bits of news because I don't know about you lads, but I think those two guys could be the number one at their position rest of season. So that is massive that those two guys are coming back. And huge because I have those two in a league that I'm in and I'm very excited this week. News, Dennis Allen has been fired.
Finally.
The coach of the Saints, Dennis Allen. Do you remember week three when the Saints were Super Bowl contenders?
bizarre start to the season. And yeah, it'll be a mystery, I suppose.
Yeah, I know. You could argue he shouldn't have got the job anyway, but yeah. Goodbye, Dennis Allen. The trade deadline was on Tuesday. I'm glad that we delayed the recording of the podcast for it so that we could urgently bring you the news that the Steelers traded for Mike Williams, that the Bengals traded for Khalil Herbert, and that the Cowboys traded for Jonathan Mingo. Super buzzing that we delayed the podcast a day to bring you that news. Is legitimately though, is there anything interesting there? Is Khalil Herbert to the Bengals interesting because of the, I don't know, the that running back room or
no?
What? I mean,
no.
That, I mean, I'm Zach Moss is out rest of season. But Chase Brown's established himself as the running back one for that team, annoyingly, as I was as I was behind Moss all year.
Yeah.
No, I mean he might get a few. Red zone touchdowns or something, but I think Chase Brown's number one there.
I agree. But Mike Williams, you know, maybe he catches a few Russell Wilson moon balls.
No.
Like I said, this segment is about as climactic as the trade deadline itself. There was some pretty cool trades on the defensive side, though. The Lions traded for Za'Darius Smith. The Commanders got Marshon Lattimore. Steelers got Preston Smith, and the Ravens got Tre'Davious White. So, you know, that shows you where their team that where those teams think they're at. They're obviously making a bit of a push there. But let's be accountable, Al.
Yeah, I mean, bit of a low key slash disappointing week all round, I would say. Lou, you had Sam Darnold at your quarterback 19 points, so he pretty much hit his projection. Brian Robinson Jr. didn't play.
Void.
Yeah, void. DNP. I mean, if you're watching the build-up, they were warming up, and then all of a sudden you see Brian Robinson Jr. kind of stood looking a bit disappointed with his hood up, talking to the coach, and you're like, that's not a good sign an hour before kickoff.
Well, he said, but the expectation was that he was going to play. So
I know, but then I don't know, something must have happened. Josh Downs 12 points, which in that game was actually not a bad game, and Laporta was a miss at your tight end. I had Cousins, who had a better real life game than fantasy game. He only scored the 17 points for fantasy, but it wasn't a miss, so that's okay. Chubert Hubbard at my running back was a nice hit. He looks good at the minute, 21 points. DJ Moore, as we mentioned before, 7.3 points. Not good in Philadelphia, this offense at the moment. And I had Travis Kelce, 22 points. He'll be a forget about it, I'm sure, from now on. Sharples, you had Stafford at the quarterback position, 17 points as well. Rashad White got you 12 points. Michael Pittman, very worrying season so far. Very worrying stretch that he's on single digits for a few weeks in a row now. He only got 2.4
with
fantasy
Flacco
points, which
as well,
a big miss.
Is.
With Flacco as well, yeah. But Taysom Hill came through. 16 points.
Of course he did. Nice. You look proud of yourself there, Sharples.
Oh, I just, me and Taysom, we go way back. And it's not had a good year. It's not like last year when I was picking him and he was getting 20 points every week for fun. You know, it's been hard. He's been injured. But I just thought, you know, the Carolina Panthers are just terrible. Like, he will get opportunities. And God, he's got a great smile. Just a lovely face. And I just thought, yeah, it's your week.
Yeah. Well, let's look ahead though, guys, to week 10. Question back?
Already yeah, week 10. Time. Less than a month away from fantasy playoffs.
Oh, don't say that, Al.
Is it actually?
It will be if we're in week 10. You know, fantasy playoffs will probably normally start around week 13, 14. Probably week 14, I would say. Week 4, 15, 16.
In the main league.
15, 16, 17. Yeah, maybe you've actually got about 5 weeks.
That's enough time. That's all I need.
We'll start off as we always do, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Forget about it.
Let's move the forget about it section of the podcast. Players that are locked into your lineup, no matter what, don't think about it. Just start them, and they'll come through for you. So at the quarterback position, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, and Josh Allen.
Forget about it.
Running backs: Bijan Robinson, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Devon Achane, Christian McCaffrey, if he plays, of course, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry.
Forget about it.
Wide receiver position: Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Malik Nabers, Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Forget about it.
Tight end, Kittle, Kelce. Kittle, Kelce, still at it.
The good old days.
Not Hill.
Forget about it.
Lovely. Browns, Packers, Raiders, Seahawks on bye this week. There's a few bi-apocalypse coming up, lads. Serious bi-apocalypse coming up. I think week 12, 13 maybe. It's going to be spicy. Let's keep it traditional and start with the quarterback position, Al.
I feel very, very good about my picks this week, Lou. I'm just saying, I think there could be four hits here. The analysis came pretty naturally. Didn't need to look up many stats. They just seem pretty... I'm happy with them. So quarterback
with your picks, I assume you never looked at stats.
So. Yeah. Very good. it just puts me off. I'm going to go at the quarterback position, Jared Goff, predicted just the 14 at Houston. Now, I think this projection is super low for a guy who's currently in the MVP conversation. Obviously, Goff is not always been amazing for fantasy. You know, that real-life play hasn't necessarily translated, but this week he's playing a Houston team who are really on the ropes at the minute. But they don't allow any points, really, to fantasy running backs. Houston don't. So I think that should mean Goff needs to get his receivers involved, see another multi-touchdown performance that should push him above, way above that 14-point projection.
Nice, Al, nice. I do think Jared Goff is playing excellent, excellent football, but the only way Jared Goff right now would be in the MVP conversation is if he was talking to his friend and they were both talking about how Lamar Jackson is the MVP. Sharples?
Contrary to Al, I feel horrible about all of my picks. Worst one being this one. I'm going for Daniel Jones.
Oh, I like this though, Sharples. Can I just say, Sharples, I pivoted off Dan Jones.
Is he Dan now? He's not got the beard, though.
I think he's going to play like... Dan. I think for Sharples' sake, he's going to play like Dan this weekend.
Daniel Jones, 17.1 points. Had a good week last week, fine, who cares, because he could just easily score 0 points. But the reason I picked him is not because of him, it's because he's playing the Carolina Panthers, who are abysmal, giving up the most points to fantasy quarterbacks. I'm fairly certain if I checked, they'd be giving up the most points to fantasy wide receivers, tight ends and running backs as well. They are awful. You can get at them however you want. Daniel Jones has got a nice set of legs on him. I think he'll run. I think he'll throw. Might not even score, get a passing touchdown. We know how hard they are for him to get. But I think even without that, Panthers are awful. I think he'll be able to do enough. 17.1, high projection considering that he's terrible. But yeah, let's go.
Nice. And lads, just for the record, I feel just fine about my picks this week. I've gone for Matt Stafford, projected 14.2. Like, who knew having your two best receivers back might be the key to you returning to form? I feel like that's what we've seen from Stafford since Kupp and Nakua have been back-ish, because obviously Nakua was a stupid idiot and got ejected. But in the past two games, Stafford, he's thrown double the amount of touchdowns that he had done in the previous six games combined, and he's gone over 275 yards in both contests and had his best two fantasy finishes of the year so far. As we spoke about at the top of the episode, I think the Rams' arrow is pointing way up, and I think there's only better days ahead for this offense. This week, they're against Miami, who really relied on slowing the game down and leaning on the defense when Tua was out, but that sort of skewed the defensive numbers over the past 2 weeks since they've started opening the games up, getting into higher scoring matchups. That defense has started to leak, especially in the passing game. They've given up over 20 fantasy points a game to the quarterback in the past two games. So don't see any reason why Stafford and the Rams slow down in this one. Running back, Al.
I'm going Tyrone Tracy, Giants running back. Projected 15 at Carolina, very similar reasons to what Sharples said. The Panthers are awful. They're allowing almost 30 points a game to opposing fantasy running backs. Tracy's the leader in this backfield. I do think Dan Jones has a good rushing flow, so kudos to Sharples, but it's Tracy who's going to get the bulk of the carries here, and he's looked really sharp recently as well. Panthers team, they've given up a league-high 15 rushing touchdowns this year, so I would start Tracy everywhere you have him with confidence.
Nice. Sharples?
I've picked Daniel Jones's brother, Aaron Jones, running back for the Minnesota Vikings. High projection, scarily high projection, 17.7, which is pretty much on par with the likes of Kyron Williams and Breece Hall. But I think it's with good reason. Jaguars given up the third most points to fantasy running backs, mainly because their offense is that bad that if you can get up a couple of touchdowns on them, you're probably just going to keep running the ball. I'm hoping that's the way the game script is going to go. Vikings get a couple of early touchdowns, and then when they do, Jones is pretty much the only thing in that backfield. 19 carries, 21 carries in his last couple of games. Should have the volume. Sneak yourself in for a touchdown, and that'll be a nice hit for me.
Nice. I'm reluctantly, must be said, going for Kareem Hunt. Projected 14.1 points. I mean, since coming back to the Chiefs, he's completely and utterly dominated the usage in the backfield. Sort of like feels like even more than Pacheco had been, weirdly. I mean, he's seeing over 22 rushing attempts a game. And that usage, I mean, it's translated into fantasy success as well. He's averaging almost 17 PPR points per game. I mean, can't argue with the results at this point. He's sort of a must-start if you've got him on your team. And this week he faces an initially scary-looking Denver defense, but on closer inspection, they've actually been very beatable on the ground. They've given up over 27 points to the position over the past month, points per game, that is. So I feel like Hunt, again, he's going to ground and pound his way to a top fantasy finish. He's going to keep that ball rolling. Wide receiver, Al.
I'm going to go Darnell Mooney, projected 14.4 at New Orleans. Another great matchup here that I'm choosing. You know, the Saints are awful. They're giving up a lot of points to fantasy wide receivers. And that was before they just traded Marshawn Lattimore. So Mooney's been great this year as well. Wide receiver 12, outscored his Falcons teammate Drake London in the past 2 weeks. And London could miss this week. He's day-to-day with that rib injury. So Mooney would be a smash play if London misses, but a good play regardless, I would say.
Nice, nice. Sharples?
I've gone for Tyreek Hill. Projected 15.7. Yeah. Lou, you did scare me before with your pessimism and general raining on my parade. But I think it is more of a warming up. That's how I'm viewing it. I drafted Tyreek Hill, so I need to think this to keep my sanity. I think the first couple of games or two are back, been building up. And, you know, I would have to think that they're going to, at some point, get back to that team last year that was first in yards per game and first in points, something ridiculous. Like, they were an absolute juggernaut last year. Yes, Devon Achane is fantastic, gets a lot of work, but you don't have Tyreek Hill on that team and not use him. So now that Tua's back, hopefully got his sea legs again, going up against the Rams team. Back-end defense, like, not great. I think it'll be a bit of a shootout. They've both got a lot of offensive weapons. So high-scoring game. I mean, it's one of those. It's Tyreek Hill. You know, he should be a forget about it. He should be getting 25 points every week. So 15.7, if this is the start of his turnaround, then yeah, I'm all for it.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I want it to be, because Tyreek Hill's a mint player. But interesting. I'm going to go Zay Flowers, projected 14.9. I mean, he can be a scurry player because, again, he's been pretty boom bust, not as much as last year, but and the ceiling is certainly higher this year. But I feel like that has some of that's to do with the game script. You know, when the Ravens are in a matchup where they can run the ball, they're going to run the ball. But I mean, other times he's just sort of been inexplicably absent, like against Tampa a couple of weeks back. But when he's hit pretty hard this year. I mean, over the last 4 weeks, he's been the wide receiver 2, averaging over 18 points a game. He's led the league in receiving yards over that span. he's been posting elite numbers in like advanced metrics, yards per right run. He's in that time he's had 26.2% targets per right run, meaning like he's been targeted on over one in four of his routes when he's been running them. And that's including the dud against Tampa. So, I mean, he's been the complete dude for this passing game. I don't really think Deontay Johnson dethrones him or hinders that too much. And he's in the right matchup this week. Flowers, you know, he can be an absolute game breaker. He's against the Bengals, as we were discussing before, divisional matchup, hotly contested. When the two teams played last time, Flowers went 7 for 111 yards. So I expect him to be utilised even more in this one, not only because he's on a red-hot run, but the Bengals are looking better than they were last time as well. So, yeah, shame to be one hell of a matchup. Flowers should go off. Let's round it out with tight end, Al.
I'm going to go Mike Gesicki. Projected 8.4 at Baltimore, other side of the ball in that game, Lou. Really, really good matchup against the Ravens. This Ravens team can't stop anyone this year through the air. They've allowed a league high receiving yards, I should say, and joint second high receiving touchdowns of 18. So it's a really juicy matchup. And what's pretty exciting for Gesicki owners for fantasy is that it looks like T. Higgins might miss the game again. Wasn't spotted at practice on Tuesday. Did he say, was the reports out on Wednesday yet, Lou? I can't remember what you said, sorry.
Keep chatting, Al. I didn't see the report for Wednesday. I've only seen it for Tuesday. I know he wasn't practicing then, so yeah, give me one moment.
That's fine. The report I saw said, you know, if realistically, if he's going to play on Thursday, he needs to be at least limited on Tuesday if he wants a chance of playing, and he wasn't on Tuesday, so it looks like he's going to miss again.
He's non-participant. He's doubtful.
Yeah, you're not going to have T. Higgins. He's not practiced all week. And there's a lot, all sorts going on with rookie Jermaine Burton. Look that one up. But, you know, Gesicki, he's got 14 targets over the past two games without Higgins there. That's turned into 39 fantasy points, putting him at tight end three over that period. So I'm kind of banking on Higgins missing, which it sounds like he's going to. So if he does, then Gesicki should be really great in this game. Should see a lot of volume.
Nice. Sharples?
Sorry, Al, just before I do, what did you say Gesicki's projection was?
8.2.
If I told you it was 11.3, would you still pick him?
Because it's gone up because he's doubtful. Okay, yeah, I'm calling my shot. I'm going to up it to 11.3. Even though rules-wise, when I picked this player, it was at 8. Yeah. I realise that now with the T. Higgins reporting coming out, that projection's gone up. I can see it only going even further up when T. Higgins gets ruled out. So we'll cap it at 11.3, shall we? But yeah, Sharples, I'll call my shot. I'll take it.
Okay. Real stickler when it comes to the tight end section, Sharples. Like for the section that we all sort of gloss over a bit, you do really have your fun with this segment.
I've got the numbers in front of me, and I looked at Gesicki's name when we were picking. I thought, God, 11, that's high.
But, yeah. Give us yours, Sharps.
Yeah, I've gone for Tyreek Hill's brother, Taysom. I've gone for a man who's got a lower projection than Taysom. This is the thing about Taysom. You can't get too friendly with him. You pick him, you get a hit, you have to move on. You can't
double dip.
Keep riding that well. You can't double dip, exactly, though, although I do in salsa. I've picked Mark Andrews, who is projected 7.7 points compared to Taysom's 8.6. Listen, obviously, Andrews has been risky. He's been risky this year, particularly at the start, but I feel like he's getting that baseline back a little bit. He was bad last week against Denver, but before that, against Cleveland, 14.6. Before that, Tampa Bay, 20 points. To me, the trend with the Ravens is when they play against a good offense, they throw the ball more. And so I think they're gonna do that against Cincinnati. I think 7.7. Considering that is a low projection, he could very easily get himself two touchdowns, even if the numbers aren't gaudy. So I'm going back. When I picked him last, he was a hit. That was in the Tampa Bay game. So going back to my sweet Mark Andrews, who I still hold a candle for, despite the fact he's not on any of my teams this year.
Nice. I'm going to go Hunter Henry, projected 10.6. been solidly involved, especially over the last month, averaging over 5 catches and 58 yards in that span. Seems to have really solidified a role in this offense as probably the most reliable passing option, receiving option, I should say. And this week, against the Bears, who have been very generous to tight ends, giving up almost 19 points a game to the position over the past month. Sharples, game tiers, bring him.
Yeah, I've got 3 in the great. 2 absolute certainties. 1 that I'm pulling for. Might depend if a certain superstar running back is back. But Ravens, Bengals, Texans, Lions, and Buccaneers, 49ers.
I thought you said Zach Moss was ruled out.
Damn. into the good. 1, it might be debatable, but I thought it's an in-division rivalry. They used to be a good team. I've got Cowboys, Eagles, Rams, Dolphins, Chiefs, Broncos.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Into the meh. This is the chunkiest section. Colts, Bills, Commanders, Steelers, Jags, Vikings, Falcons, Saints, Cardinals, Jets.
I think
I do like Commanders, Steelers.
Same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I am notoriously down on the Steelers, to be fair. So you are. That might be why that's there. In the bad, don't think there can be too many debates about this mucky bunch. Panthers, Giants, ugh. Bears, Patriots,
ugh.
Chargers, Titans.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's the I mean, I don't know what those beautiful, excellent German fans did to deserve the Panthers versus the Giants in Germany on Sunday.
I mean, I'm currently watching a documentary on World War II, so I can think of a few things.
Okay. is that the game tiers?
That was it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice, okay, lovely stuff. Any closing thoughts, lads, before we round it out?
Just as a second to that, I know lots of lovely Germans, and that was just a joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we have German listeners, potentially.
Guten and they're all Tag. Great.
Guten Tag.
They cut off a lot of our cocoa bean access, is what I was referring to in World War II. It wasn't much chocolate around.
Nice, yeah.
Those pesky U-boats.
Yeah. And that'll do us, I think. That will do us.
Also, sorry, one more, apologies. Last week I made a statement about who the potential Moore's murderers was. It's since been confirmed that it was not Fred West.
I know, I told you it wasn't Fred West.
I was listening to that and I did think you were right, Sharples, but I didn't.
No,
I didn't
bother looking it up. Was it not Ian Brady?
It was.
Yeah.
Apologies.
The closing thoughts aren't usually as morbid as this.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Should have saved it for the Halloween one, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Next year. On that lovely, joyous note. Enjoy week 10.
Enjoy.
We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.